Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our current series of studies, Christ in the Four Gospels. And we trust that you're enjoying this series. I have certainly enjoyed preparing them. In the Gospel according to Matthew, we see our Lord Jesus Christ presented as the King. In the Gospel of Mark, he is presented as the perfect servant, which subject we will study today. And in Luke, he is presented as the Son of Man. And in John, he is presented as the Son of God. All these various pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see his glories brought forth as they are manifest in these different ways that he is used of his Father. Now, today we wish to consider the fact that the Gospel according to Mark, and we're going to turn to the first chapter of Mark, if you would care to follow us in your reading, in the reading, we would mention immediately that there's no genealogy in the Gospel according to Mark. Now, that is significant. Now, there are genealogies in Matthew and the other synoptic gospel, Luke. But of the three synoptic gospels, Mark does not contain a genealogy. The question is, why? Well, for this very simple reason. When you're considering a servant, you're not interested in his family's tree. You're interested, is he strong? Is he healthy? Is he intelligent? Well, shall we examine the Lord on these qualifications? His health, for instance. Now, the Lord could be hungry. He was a real man, a 100% man, God manifest in the flesh. He could be hungry. He could be thirsty. He could be weary. I think of the fourth chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 1, we read there, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." But you would be hungry, wouldn't you, if you fasted 40 days and 40 nights? And he was weak, because after this ordeal of the temptation, God sent an angel to strengthen him in his humanity, of course. All right, now he was indeed hungry, and he was indeed weary, as we see him in John chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, that would be high noon, according to Roman time. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." Now, in these verses, we see that the Lord had the capacity to be indeed thirsty. He had the capacity to be tired. He was wearied with his journey. But please note this. Nowhere in the Bible do we ever read of our Lord Jesus Christ being ill, sick. It is not recorded. Now, he could feel pain, certainly, and he could bleed, but he was never ill. But he was indeed hungry, wearied, and thirsty. All right, this makes him a healthy person. Now, is he strong? Does he meet that qualification of a servant? Is he strong? Well, there are 19 miracles recorded in Mark's Gospel, more than any others. 19 miracles, and in each of these miracles, he revealed his strength, even to raising of the dead. He was the mighty God. He could dismiss evil spirits. He could heal those that were crippled from their birth. He could indeed staunch the flow of blood. He could heal from fever. He was strong. He was mighty. And he certainly fits the category of a servant and that which is required of a servant. Now, about his wisdom, his intelligence. A servant must be intelligent. When the Lord gives him his commands, he must know how to indeed carry out those commands. He knows how, must know how to implement them. He is an intelligent servant. And our Lord Jesus Christ fits that category. In his wisdom, our Lord Jesus Christ used Mark, for instance. Used Mark to write this gospel. Mark had failed, as we've already mentioned earlier in this series of broadcasts. He had failed in the service of the Lord. He quit. He chickened out, to use a modern phrase. And he did not go on. And later, he was restored to the Lord, and the Apostle Paul needed him and sent for him. He says, bring Mark. And he says, he is useful to me in the ministry. Now, our Lord was back of that. And our Lord restored Mark to his position. Our Lord forgives, and he understands. Now, in the case of Peter, the Apostle, in the 20th chapter, or 21st chapter, rather, of John's Gospel, Peter is restored to the Lord. Remember, please, Peter denied the Lord, denied knowing the Lord three times. Peter was disconsolate. He wept. He thought, my service, my commission is ended for God. No, it wasn't. In the 21st chapter of John's Gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ restores Mark, or rather restores Peter to himself and to his commission. He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And he says, I do love you, Lord. He says, feed my sheep, tend my sheep. Oh, he gave Peter that position of being a shepherd. And believe me, when you read Peter's epistles, you realize his shepherd character. He's so tender. Now, in the case of the Lord using these people that had failed, he showed his wisdom. Who could write of our Lord Jesus Christ as being the perfect servant more than Mark, who failed in that capacity? Certainly, the Lord shows his wisdom in using those that fail. Now, if he didn't, who could he use? We have all failed in various capacities, even in our Christian lives. We have failed in various capacities. Does he cast us off? No, he does not. He continues to use us for the glory of God. Now, the infancy of the Lord is not touched upon in the Gospel according to Mark. His genealogy is not recorded. His infancy is not recorded. We jump right in to his service with the Lord. His qualifications first, as announced by John the Baptist. And we see that. We'll read in Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the scriptures, prophets, behold, I send my messenger before my face. He shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This is the prophecy of Isaiah, 7 centuries before the Lord came. He prophesied, indeed, that the Lord Jesus would come, and he sent John the Baptist to be his forerunner. And John came announcing our Lord Jesus Christ. And he baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this takes place in the first 11 verses of the chapter, of the first chapter rather, of Mark. We see his temptation immediately as he's led into the wilderness. Then we go into his ministry from there on out in this chapter. We go into the ministry of the Lord, his choice of Peter and Andrew as being his disciples, and John as well. We see them healing the leper. We see him preaching. We see him healing Simon's wife. We see him casting out demons. All, if you please, in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel. And certainly these miracles attest to the fact that Mark was writing of him as the servant. Now, we see he records also in the 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verse 45, we see there Mark making a wonderful statement about our Lord Jesus. This is recorded in Mark, one other gospel also. But please listen as I read what Mark has to say about our Lord Jesus. Rather, his words that he quotes in his gospel. Here it is: "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Isn't that beautiful? The disciples on this occasion were quarreling. It was as to who was going to have the chief place in the kingdom of God. John and James wanted to sit on his right hand, one on the right hand and the other on the left. They were quarreling, and the Lord Jesus says, "Now listen, if you want to be great, serve others." And then he climaxes his admonition to them. He climaxes it with this wonderful verse. Here it is: "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." He came to serve, not to be served. John Nelson Darby, a 19th century mighty preacher of the Word of God, made this statement that I think is worthy of quote. And it is this: "Self thinks itself great and wants to be served. Love serves and is great." That's the formula for greatness. Serve as our Lord Jesus Christ served. Who wrote about this? Mark, the servant who failed. And God gave him back his commission. And he has given the pleasure of writing this wonderful, wonderful gospel. Now we see the character of Mark's writings. He uses the word straightway. Now that's a servant's word. Straightway means that it's done right now. And certainly that is used more times in the Gospel of Mark. It's used 21 times. And the other Gospel writers only uses it 13 times. Isn't that remarkable? Three other Gospel writers using the word straightway 13 times. Mark uses it 21 times. Mark knew how to serve. He knew how servants served. And we see how alert our Lord Jesus Christ was on all occasions to serve those that were around him. Now, we've already mentioned he wrote 19 miracles, but only four parables. Now, the others, wait till we get to Luke's gospel. He writes so many, many parables. Now, those parables were earthly stories with heavenly meaning. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ does not do much teaching. Now, I didn't say that he does no teaching in the Gospel of Mark. No, none at all. That's not true. But he does less teaching there and more service. This presents our Lord Jesus Christ for that perfect servant. And you know, he's still serving us today at the right hand of God as our great high priest. Our Father, today we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Help us to emulate him and to serve others and achieve at least a measure of greatness. In his name we pray. Amen.